This is the Extravagant Promises Podcast, and I'm your host, Gregory. This is episode number 55, One Bad Apple. Before we begin, I'd like to go over the usual several housekeeping items. First, this is not an AA meeting. It is merely a compliment to your recovery program. I certainly hope that it brings some respite and some comfort to you, as it does to me, to offer this. I am coming on just short of 7 years of sobriety, and I have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor, and I sponsor other guys in recovery. And I would not want anyone to believe that just listening to podcast episodes is enough. I strongly encourage, as I'm sure everybody in the program with some sobriety does, encourage you to go to meetings, get a sponsor, have a home group, and then work the 12 steps with your sponsor, and when the time is right, work with other people in recovery. And that service is what is the divine spark. And this is one of my forms of service. And I hope that you can feel that through the podcast ether, so to speak. The second thing is that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. And I ask that my anonymity be preserved, that anyone who comes on this podcast as a guest, their anonymity is preserved to the extent that they ask, and that no one attempt to dox or out me or anyone on the program or any of the listeners. This is an anonymous act of service and charity, and I'd like to keep it that way if at all possible. And with that in mind, we obviously take no position in outside issues, and that helps preserve our anonymity because we are not dealing with anything other than reckoning, recovery, and redemption here, and with all within the spirit of the Alcoholics Anonymous and the spirit of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. Thirdly, I will not accept any form of payment or remuneration for the creation of this podcast or such as sponsorships or advertisements or donations. I do not solicit, nor would I accept them. This is an act of service and charity, and I hope it's taken in that spirit. With that in mind, I am creating a platform to better enhance my creative abilities. And so you may see the words The Code Duello Project as being associated or affiliated with this podcast. Not sure if that will happen, but it may. And just rest easy. This is a platform that I am creating that can house and better project this podcast. But this podcast and the message will always be pure and unsullied by commerce, or I will shut it down. That is my solemn vow to myself, honestly, and my program and my own recovery. So with that said, let's get to the subject, the tonight's episode, One Bad Apple. There's a painting that I came across when I was living in Venice, Italy, in the summer of 2021. And many of my listeners will recall that I, in a kind of a big life-changing event, I had hit a wall professionally, personally. My recovery was strong, but in 2019, I decided to pack up my bags and move to Italy for 3 months. I recorded podcasts from there. I did have a very tight and guarded, and I would say well-managed program of recovery there. It was amazing, the support I received in Venice. But my therapist and I devised a plan that if, you know, if I started backsliding, if I felt an urge to use or drink or do anything like that, I would just get on a plane and come home. I would report myself to her. And keeping accountable was really good. I also kept a very elaborate journal of how I was feeling. And I have to say that in a lot of ways, Italy healed me and healed many of the things that ailed me, at least temporarily, just like the program. So, of course, we came back. As many of you will recall from some of my prior podcasts where I've shared about myself and who I am, I am a lawyer who has practiced litigation for almost 30 years, and I had reached a stage of burnout and a crisis of conscience, a crisis of confidence, a crisis of just my own personal soul, I thought. And that, no doubt, my very ugly, high conflict divorce had played a large role in that. And I played a role in it. I mean, I was the role. But I reached a point where I really didn't feel like I could go on. And shortly after returning from Italy, I shut down the law firm and decided to see what, kind of like the song "The Boxer" by Simon and Garfunkel, you know, see what still remains. And this is, you know, surprise, surprise, when humans plan, God laughs, and the pandemic hit, and that took us in a different direction. And ultimately, in the summer of 2021, my partner and I decided to go back to Italy. And for reasons I don't need to get into why we needed to go and what we were doing, but we lived in Venice again. And very early in our stay there, I crossed the Accademia Bridge, there are two bridges that cross the Grand Canal in Venice. And there's the main island. They have what are called sestieri, which are like neighborhoods. And the main island is, you have San Marco, you have Canareggio, you have Castello. On the island directly adjacent, which is also large, you have what's called Dorso Duro, and San Polo are two of the neighborhoods there. And there are others. But the important part is there are only two bridges crossing the Grand Canal that goes between these two islands. One is the Rialto, which I'm sure everybody has seen pictures of. The other is the Accademia, which is wooden, and it's huge, and it's awesome. And it goes over, and the reason they call it Accademia is because it deposits you right in front of the Accademia, which is essentially the National Gallery, one of Italy's national, the Venetian National Gallery, and there are incredible works of art inside. Next to it was an amazing art gallery in and of itself, but it was private. And I happened to see a painting that was hanging there, was displayed behind others, but you could see it through the glass. And it is, it depicted the subject, which is the genesis, as it were, of today's podcast. It depicted what's called the Judgment of Paris. And the painting was by a master artist, Italian. I don't know if you can call it Renaissance, because it was late. He lived in the late 1600s, very early 1700s. But maybe the Baroque Renaissance period, maybe not. But his name is Carlo Maratta. And Carlo Maratta painted The Judgment of Paris. Now, The Judgment of Paris depicts Paris, the Trojan mortal, with a golden apple. And in front of him are three goddesses, Hera, Aphrodite, and Athena. And as the legend goes, there was a wedding in mythological lore. And the wedding was between Peleus and Thetis, My pronunciation may be off here, but Zeus was having a banquet. The god Zeus was having a banquet for Peleus and Thetis. And of course, I'm sure all of the other gods were and goddesses were invited, but he did not want to invite Eris, the goddess of discord. This is called Discordia. Her Greek goddess name is Eris. She's the goddess of strife and discord. And her Roman equivalent is Discordia, which is the same thing. So Zeus decides, I'm not going to invite her because she will cause problems and wreak havoc on this beautiful day. And so they decide to exclude Eris. Well, as bad apples will have it, you'll quickly discern the subject of today's podcast is you know, which one are you, so to speak, or which one were you when you began your recovery journey? Were you who were your, and maybe a little bit of everybody, but basically Zeus says, you know, you're not invited, and Eris throws a golden apple into the banquet with the phrase Kaliste, I think Greek phrase Kaliste, which means two or four, the fairest one. And again, apologies to our scholars out there who are going to question my pronunciations, but that the two or four, the fairest one. So we've got a problem. We've got one golden apple, and we've got a lot of gods and goddesses who think they are the fairest one. Three goddesses step forward to claim the apple. Hera, who was Zeus's wife, and is, I think, widely regarded among in the mythological universe as perhaps the fairest of them all. Athena, as we know, the goddess of craft and war and many of the, or also known as Minerva. And then, of course, Aphrodite, who is beautiful into her own right, but is also the goddess of sexual allure, goddess of sexuality. So they ask Zeus to choose. Zeus says no, he's not getting involved. Smart man, or smart god, I'm not sure, man, woman, whatever you would call Zeus. Zeus decides he's not going to choose. And Zeus selects Paris, who is a Trojan mortal, to judge the case. He had shown some fairness in a prior dispute or a contest, and so they said, okay, we're going to have Paris do it. And so the goddesses bathe in the springs on Mount Ida and then come before Paris. And they each, you know, they're all, none of them want to lose. And Paris is suddenly, you know, not just deciding which one is going to be selected. Paris is having to deal with the bribes that are being offered to him. Well, Hera offers, you know, a certain bounty if he will pick her. And then Athena offers, I'm trying to think, like Hera offered to make him the king of Europe and Asia. Athena offered him wisdom and skill in war. All right, all very, very impressive and certainly compelling gifts to be bribed with. And then the third, though, Aphrodite, well, she comes strong. She had her charms were enhanced with flowers and song, and she offers up the world's most beautiful woman who we know was Helen of Sparta. Remembering that Helen is married to a guy named Menelaus, who is a Greek king. As we know from there, Paris accepts Aphrodite's gifts, gives her the golden apple. That invokes the wrath of, I mean, evoke or invoke? Anyway, we'll go with that. Evokes the wrath of Hera and Athena. And then when Paris manages to while away Helen from Menelaus and the Spartans, and of course the Greeks are in the camp with Athena and Hera, and they're going to war. As we know, the Trojan War breaks out, and unprecedented carnage rains down upon that part of the world and world history, and great mythological tales spring hence. But interestingly enough, Paris is ultimately, as we know, that many of the Trojans are killed, many of the Greeks are killed, Achilles is killed, Odysseus goes on his odyssey that lasts years and years and trying to get home. And then, of course, Paris is ultimately killed as well. So why did I select this as a great starting point? Well, first is because I've been gone for some time, and I apologize for that, from the podcast universe and just living life trying to get myself squared away with my new life and post-pandemic life. And I have moved states, moved cities. I don't live in where I used to live. And I've returned to my home, to my hometown, which was where I was born. And it's a small town. And probably I've shared where I am with you before. I certainly will in the future. I don't see any reason to have to keep it secret, but I won't get into all that now. What I want to get into is that I was fortunate to go in and view this painting, this beautiful painting, and I am fortunate to own that painting now, and I'm able to look at it every day, and the Judgment of Paris, and I'm able to think about my role in things, and the idea, the one person who's not depicted, or the one entity, the one god, goddess is not depicted. Of course, there are many gods and goddesses who are not depicted, but Iris is not depicted. And I think about it, which one am I today? You know, where am I, or am I any of them? But the focus really is that kind of one bad apple, you know, Iris, discord, restless, irritable, discontented. That's what the big book tells us is something that is just part of our nature as alcoholics, as addicts, as distorted thinkers. We can't let well enough alone. We're consumed with resentment. We're consumed with disharmony, dis-ease, as it were. And that all can be summed up in the word discord. Discordia, Eris, the goddess of discord. And I think, is it our disease that is discord, or discordant, or is it us? And those two, I don't think are mutually exclusive. It can be both. It's the disease and it's us. The disease is us. We are the disease. Great intellectual gymnastics that we can play with that. But the main thing is to look at it. And, you know, I'm reminded of the Waylon Jennings song. There's one in every crowd for crying out loud. Why was it always turning out to be me? And that's the idea of this bad apple. The apple, you're thrown in there. And maybe there are many different ways to look at this. Maybe we are the bad apple thrown into, gosh, I mean, how many parties or banquets or dinners, professional, personal, family, otherwise, did we ruin or ruin in our own minds and just not have a good time? Because we were the restless, irritable, and discontent, the malcontent who just had to be that guy. You know, if it's just it's mind-boggling how many times I had to be that guy. And I think about a lot of times not drunk, but you know, alcoholic mind, drunk mind, I've been the guy who, you know, you just can't sit and listen to a meeting, listen to a community. You have to be the person who takes issue, irascible, obstreperous, you know, you got to be just feisty and take issue with this. And, oh, well, I object, you know, and all that. And it's just, and there's in some ways there's nothing wrong with that. And so it's who you are. But in other ways, we all know that if you are that guy, that gal, if you are that person, if you suffer from that, you know it, and I know it. Well, let me refer it. That's starting to sound real luxury. Let me put it this way: I know it from my personal experience that it's not how I want to be. It's not how my best me is. You know, I'm not inspiring. I'm not leading. I'm not loving. I'm not being led brilliantly by someone else. I'm just having to be a kind of I'm having to be the bad apple. And in my case, the bad apple, you know, either usually took its form that alcohol was a fuel for the fire. I wasn't someone who necessarily got sloppy drunk and was like falling down, face planting everywhere. I mean, that happened plenty of times, you know, but it was more like alcohol was very cocaine-esque. I don't know, you know, maybe it's the sugar or whatever, but just, you know, it gave me this like crazy energy and, but it just warped my mind and my senses. It just made me do things. I wasn't always a mean drunk to anyone else. I was mean to myself. I thought I was creative or I was out there, but I was just an idiot. I was a drunk idiot. I was doing things that could hurt people. I was doing things that did hurt myself. I was the bad apple, you know, the goddess of discord. She threw Gregory into the cocktail party, the goddess of discord. She threw Gregory into your wedding, to your 60th birthday party, to your christening, to whatever it was, you know, and you know, to a dinner with friends where you've got to mouth off about something. You just can't leave well enough alone for crying out loud. Why was it always turning out to be me? You know, that's a battle that goes on now. I'm almost, in a couple weeks, I'll pick up 7 years, hopefully do like a 7 year podcast episode, you know, talk about that. And, 7 years is big for me. I don't know why, five felt meaningful because it's 5 years, you know, gosh, you know, yeah, I look back on the chips I've picked up and I think which one, they were all important. Everyone just plus one day is more important than the next, you know, because it's, you made it one more day. 7 years plus one day will be more valuable to me than 7 years. But there are some where you say, gosh, that was a harder year, or that was a harder chip to get, you know, or that one felt deep, you know, I don't know. Am I wrong in that? Possibly. In my experience, 1 year was very hard to pick up, and not hard in the sense of start and stop, relapse or anything like that. It was just, it felt like that year was never going to get there. And then 2 years was similar. It just, 2 years felt just, I'd say was the worst in the sense of like, you know, it's kind of like been there, done that, but you haven't been there and you haven't done that. It just feels bored and like, God, you know, but, 4 years was when I was in Italy the first time, and that was amazing because I got to pick up a chip at a 500-year-old convent / monastery that still is working and existing. And I mean, what's not cool about that? And you got a lot of local Italians and Venetians, but also English speaking tourists and things who could share and just, what an incredible moment. 5 years smack in the middle of the pandemic. And I just, it felt like, okay, this is important, but it's not, I don't know, didn't necessarily do it. 6 years just was kind of came and went, to be honest with you. And, but seven feels like something. I don't know. It feels different. It feels like not an award or a reward, but just a something to denote lengths of sobriety. But this length of sobriety feels important to me, I'm proud of it. And I know pride. Yep, I got it. It's a sin, and it's we know what goeth before the fall, so to speak. I'm not trying to set myself up, not trying to throw another bad apple into the Gregory banquet, so to speak. But I'd really like to focus more for a second on the notion of, not being that bad apple. And we don't know why we were created this way. We don't know why we became this way. Some of us were just born this way, and we were just that kid, that adult, that young adult, that adult, whatever. Some of us, maybe it took some training, some education, some experience, to make that expertise in bad appleness. Maybe some trauma, maybe some things outside of our control. Who knows? Chicken or the egg, who cares? All that's important is, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are, I pray for you that you realized you were the bad apple, that you had a bad apple inside you, or that whatever, that you needed, you're not bad. You're not broken. You're not bad. Doesn't mean you're not the bad apple though, or that you haven't been the bad apple, and it doesn't matter how you got here. It's where we're going together. So just kind of close your eyes for a moment and think about that banquet, and think about this apple coming in. And it's like, isn't it great to be able in sobriety to detach and just kind of walk away and be like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be a part of that. And that's what you're doing in order to not be Eris or Discordia, in order to not be the apple itself, in order to not be Paris, gosh, you talk about poor guys set up to fail. You're about to have holy goddess hell rain down on your head. Who wants Athena on who wants to be on Athena's bad side? We take a moment and close your eyes and just think about how powerful you are now, that you can rely upon your superpower of sobriety. You can rely on the harmony. The opposite of Eris, of Discordia, is harmonia, harmony. And that's what sobriety brings into our life, is harmony. It doesn't abstaining from alcohol or drugs does not bring harmony or equal harmony, but it creates the pathways and the life and the spiritual doorway through which the highway of harmony runs, and a doorway into Arcadia, so to speak, or a doorway into that beautiful place of harmony where you can feel at peace. Not always. Certainly it's a day-to-day thing, and there are many days when I don't feel it. But there are days when you just go, okay, deep breath, I made another one. I made it. Let's get today. Let's get it. Let's be the golden apple, not a bad apple. I'm not going to even try to go into, I'm being cute there with it, because you could, well, the golden apple was a bad apple. Come on, work with me here. Think it through. Let's be golden harmony in our sobriety. Let's think about the times and the people. If you want to go back and think, think about all of those banquets, those immortal banquets that are now memorialized or immortalized by our insane behavior. When people think of a wedding or something like that, do they go, oh yeah, that's the time that Gregory, got up on a table and did this, or, threw somebody through a window, or, you know, wound up naked on the floor in a pool of his own vomit, you know, I'm just not cool, not fun, you know, really not a good time. And I don't want that. I didn't want that. And I'm so glad that, whereas I do often feel my dis-ease, my discord, restless, irritable, discontented, discordia comes through my door often, but I am equipped to ask her to leave. Ask him to leave, you know, him, her, whatever. I ask it to leave. I ask my sobriety, the goddess, God of sobriety, to take over. I ask my higher power to take my hand in his, and or to take me on his shoulder and carry me. And wow, what a journey it's been. And what an amazing, amazing life I have now. Some of you will recall that 7 years ago, and a week or two, I wrote a letter to God, Father's Day, 2015, in which I essentially said, "Dear God, I'm out of bullets. I'm out of options. I'm out of exits off this highway. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I'm not sure, but I know that you're all I got." I knew my life was probably coming to an end. I had not, you know, I'll just leave it at that. My life was going to be coming to an end pretty quickly. And a few weeks later, one of my best friends said, "I'm worried about your drinking." And I asked him if he'd go to an AA meeting with me, and he said yes. And that day was July 19th, 2015. I've been sober ever since. And I know that God did not send me an angel. God sent me a program of angels. And discord. Let's just say that my higher power was Patrick Swayze in the movie Roadhouse. And discord, and he escorted Discordia to the door. It's time to be nice until it's time to not be nice. Discordia was asked to leave the building. I love each and every one of you. I'm sorry. I apologize and make my amends to you for being gone for so long. I'm gonna do better and get this podcast out the door, and hopefully we can all dance down the road of happy destiny together. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Amen. Until next time, this is Gregory, and this is the Extravagant Promises Podcast.